You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. Giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Please be seated, and we want to recognize our dads. Let's give all the dads here a big hand. So we've got a gift for all the dads. So if your dad, raise your hand. The ushers are going to bring you a little flashlight with a magnet. It's got a magnet on it, and let's see what else. Okay, and you can, you know, I think you can signal. No? Okay. You can, during the hurricane, you can read. So just raise your hand. Our dads will be glad to get you one. Our ushers will be glad to give you one of those. Would all our dads stand? Would you stand? And let me pray for our dads. After you get your flashlight. All right. Did all of the, Mark, did you get one? Okay, good. Everybody get one? Okay. Anybody not get a flashlight? Paul, did you get one? Throw it up to the balcony. Toss one up to the balcony. A balcony shot for Paul. Okay. So let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and we thank you so much for all of our dads and ask you to bless them. Just pour your spirit out upon them. And Father, we just pray for each of these that you will use them as mighty men of God for their families, for their children, for their grandchildren. And Lord, let them all be soul winners. Help them all to draw others into the kingdom of heaven. And we just want to tell you we love you and praise you and thank you for our dads. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the light of us being a stand-up church, you know, stand up, sit down, stand up. So we're going to, first of all, recognize three different categories, as we always do, of dads. And we've got a special gift for our dads. For the oldest, we've got a Sirius flashlight. And for the one with the most children, we've got this flashlight. And then for the youngest, we've got this little baby flashlight. So we've got the, so we want to recognize our oldest dad first. So let's start at a ripe old age of 70. 70 or older, stand. And then we're going to knock off a few decades pretty quick. Okay. 80 or older. 85 or older. Ooh, that didn't take out hardly anybody. 90 or older. And we've got Ray. Ray, come on down. Ray Quillen. He can barely make it. Somebody help him. Somebody help him. So come down here, Ray. Hello, brother. You reaching out for your flashlight? Let me give you that. It's got batteries included. Do you know how to put them in?
Oh, yeah.
If not, the ushers can help you. Okay, wait, don't run off. So how old are you?
95.
Woo!
I think Ray is going to be winning this for a long time.
No, Bill usually beats me.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, but he's
Bill Habra?
Yeah, Bill Habra.
Oh, are you grateful he's not here today?
Huh?
No, that's okay. Okay, wait, hang on. Don't run off. How many children do you have?
Two.
Two? How old are they?
Oh, gosh, you're asking the question. I can't
remember. Okay, when's their birthdays?
My birthdays, I don't know. I can't remember.
Okay, when was your anniversary?
My anniversary? I don't have many anniversaries.
Okay. All right. Well, how old were you when you gave your life to Christ?
I was probably 20.
20?
21.
Let's give Ray a big hand. Bless your heart. Okay, we want to recognize the dad with the most children. So let's start with a multiple of three or more. Three or more, please stand. Okay. There you go. Four or more. And we're down to two, five or more. Okay. Come on down here, Gary. Thou art the man. I mean, what? Y'all are both five? Warren's four. Anna, when's your anniversary? No. Okay. Hello, Gary. Bless your heart. So how old are you as a dad?
I'm 80 right now. I'll be 81 next month.
Okay. And how you've got how many? Five?
Five kids. Four girls, one boy.
And what are their ages?
Oh, boy.
Okay. When's your anniversary?
August 3rd.
Okay. All right. Good. So here's your flashlight. And how old were you when you gave your life to Christ?
About 14 years old.
14 years old. Let's give Gary a big hand. Thank you, Gary. Love you. Okay. Youngest dad. So let's start at 35. 35 or younger. How old are you, Rick? 38? Fleming, how old are you? Oh, old guy. Okay. Let's just give it to him. What? You're going to need it chasing these kids around. Come down. How many children do you have?
Three boys.
And you're 38.
38, yes.
38 years? Yeah.
I'm 38? Yes.
38. And when is your anniversary?
March 4th.
Okay, all right. Good.
I got nervous.
Let's give Rick a hand. Okay. So we would, a few announcements. Want to remind you to get the publication, the Heart publication, as you're leaving, with a reminder with our musical coming up, 4th of July musical, and our picnic. And we're going to be having our picnic in the fellowship hall for one reason. What do you think it is? Air conditioning. So we're going to have a nice air-conditioned 4th of July celebration in there, and I want to encourage you to come and bring goodies. Bring, you know, your favorite baked beans and coleslaw and casseroles and all that kind of stuff, that kind of thing. Someone probably needs to bring some corn on the cob, you know, a big pan of those, and, you know, just some good stuff, and we'll have a great time. Say it. Pecan pie. We do need pecan pie. Desperately need pecan pie. Okay, so want to encourage you with that. Want to encourage you to participate in life groups. And if you look in the little publication there, there's a little form. If you could fill that out and place it in the offering plate so we can get to know more about you. We'd love to do that. And we had a great activity yesterday for our fathers. We had a barbecue. And is Steve Needs here today? Is Steve in here today? Not today. Steve put together some shish kebabs for us that were outstanding with kielbasa and mushrooms. And I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. And we also had Park Avenue. And we had two wonderful fishing celebrities share two different seminars with us. One was a young dad with his two twin three-year-old girls, beautiful girls, and they were at my table. So while he was speaking, I was entertaining them. And I had my hand on the table, and the one sitting next to me reached over, put her hand on top of my hand. I thought it was really sweet. But we had a great time yesterday and shared the gospel, encouraged all the men there to be soul winners and to be witnesses for Christ. Be in prayer for our Vacation Bible School. It starts tomorrow. In fact, let's go ahead and have a prayer for all of our VBS workers. So if you're working in VBS, would you please stand? Our Vacation Bible School workers, please stand. Let's give them a hand. And let me have a word of prayer for you. See Sandra up in the balcony. Father, we just want to tell you we love you and thank you so much for these dear ones. Ask you to anoint them and bless them. And we do thank you for the children that have signed up. We do pray that you'd give us over 100 this year. And I ask you, dear God, just to draw many of these children into the kingdom this week. And we just want to tell you we love you and praise you and thank you. Thank you for these dear ones. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Let's pray. Dear God, you are a good, good Father, Lord. We want to ask you on this Father's Day, Lord, to bless those that are fathers and father figures that you have placed in our lives, Lord. We want to thank you most of all because you are a perfect Father. We thank you for your loving, ever-presence, kind. Lord, we want to just ask you, please, you know, to help us be more like you, Lord. And we want to ask you today, you know, for all those that are having a difficult day this day, that you would bless them and surround them with your love, Father. We want to ask you, please, you know, to bless these tithes and offerings and use them for your glory. We ask you all this in Jesus' name.
When we think of fathers and biblical fathers, different dads and fathers in the Bible, there's a lot of examples, and through the years we've looked at many of them. What's interesting is that there is one particular father that never lied, never cheated, never stole, and he was really the greatest dad by far in the Bible. In fact, sinless. And we're talking about the Heavenly Father. And he's the only one. And today I'd like for us to look at three characteristics of our Heavenly Father and his dynamic influence on the earth, and specifically his relationship with Jesus, his son, and then us as adopted children, the whole family of God. So if you've got your Bible, turn to John chapter 17, beginning in verse 21 through the end of the chapter. John chapter 17. And we see in this passage that he says that they may know, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, are in me and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me, and that didst love them, even as thou didst love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me.
For then didst thou love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee, yet I have known thee, and they have known that thou didst send me. And I have made thy name known to them, and with it will make it known that the world wherewith thou didst love me, the love wherewith thou didst love me, may be in them and I in them. So here we see in this passage three different references to God as a Father, and then the Lord Jesus develops three different ideas of his love, his relationship with God the Father, and then subsequently our relationship with he and God the Father. And so we want to look at those today. First of all, we see that God the Father desires unity in our relationship between us and he and Jesus. He desires for there to be a unity. And the scripture talks quite a bit about unity and the importance of it and how effective it is. The first reference is in Psalm 133, verse 1. And in Psalm 33, verse 1, a familiar verse, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity." And so we see in Scripture that God says that when people are unified in their walk with Christ, in their love, and just as he and the Father, Jesus and the Father are unified, that there's a great, great joy in that. There's a great, great power in that. There's productivity in that, and it's important for us to have unity in our relationships with each other. In John 1:12, he says, "As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God." So you and I have been adopted into this relationship with God the Father as his children, and we are in that family together. Now, I'd like to give you an example of disunity. Years ago, when I was graduating my senior year of high school at SBEC, Southern Baptist Educational Center, I had shifted over there to play basketball for their basketball team, and then I finished the year there and I graduated. Well, I was not a believer then, and I was a cut-up in school, so we were the Trojans, and we had what was called a Queen of Troy pageant. And in this pageant, they selected different athletes to escort the potential Queens of Troy up on the stage. Well, I had my buddies talking to me. One of the girls asked me to be her escort. And so my buddies bet me that I wouldn't fall down on the stage. So I said, "Well, if you're going to bet, let's put some money on it." And there's 10 of them that put up $10 each. And for $100, I would have fallen off the stage. So I had the potential Queen of Troy on my arm, one of them. In fact, I was the first one to go up the stairs. And I thought, when I get to this top step, I'm going to kick the face of it real hard and then fall down on the stage. So when I got up there, sure enough, I kicked it and fell over. And everybody, oh, you know. And I got up, my tie was hanging out, I tucked it back in. And afterwards, the boys paid me. I got my $100. And Mr. Agater, our principal, heard about it. Well, the day of, he came up to me, "Oh, Daryl, they'll forget you fell down. Don't worry about it." You know, and he consoled me. And he got into all of that. And he said, "I fell when I was going up to get my diploma when I graduated." Well, I didn't know that, but too much information. I didn't need that. And so Mr. Agater was so empathetic. Then later he found out I did it for a bet and I got paid. And he came up to me in the hallway and said, "Give me the money that the boys gave you." And I said, "Oh, they didn't pay me." I lied to him. I wasn't a believer then. And here's what happened, though, that showed the disunity at the Queen of Troy event, the pageant.
So our organizer was Mrs. Hamilton. She was the band director. And she was a perfectionist, and everything was organized to the max. I mean, everything. And they recruited to be the announcer for our event, the disc jockey, the famous disc jockey from Memphis, the incredible Aura J. So this disc jockey was our announcer. So it came and he's reading this script that Mrs. Hamilton wrote for him. And you could tell, I mean, he's an ab lib guy, you know, he's a disc jockey. And he was chafing under the harness over this script that Miss Hamilton wrote for him. And so at one point, the contestants, the girls came out on the stage and the incredible RJ is reading the script. And he said, would the beautiful queens of Troy make a quarter turn to the right? So the girls turn. And then he said, would the beautiful queens of Troy make another turn to the right? They made another turn. She had that on there like four or five times with the beautiful queens of Troy. So around the fourth time, he said, would the beautiful queens of Troy keep making right turns till they screw themselves into the stage? And we looked at Miss Hamilton, and she had her baton. She was conducting the band as an orchestra. She snapped the thing in half, and we were off to the races, you know. But I'll never forget that, you know, that event with her and that response and the disunity of it. And from that point on, after he said that, everything turned south. I mean, it was not the smooth, polished thing that was imagined. But you and I need to recognize that unity in our lives and unity with each other, unity in the cause of Christ, that this is an aspect of God the Father. And he is a God of order and discipline. He is a God of unity. In fact, when we think about that, the Trinity is tri-unity, the three in one, the three in working together. Now, through divine adoption and the John 1:12 that we just looked at a minute ago, through that you and I have actually joined into the Trinity. And in one sense, now in this relationship, in this chapter, in this prayer from the Lord Jesus, he's talking about a Trinity that is God the Father, God the Son, and all of us, all the believers. And as you know, when we get to heaven, he will share with us his divine nature. And that's what Scripture tells us, that you and I are partakers of the divine nature. So in that sense, now, I don't want you to say, the pastor preached heresy today, there's a different Trinity, because in actuality, the deity Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But in this relationship Trinity, Jesus mentions in all three of these points, in all three of these emphases, that it's God the Father, himself, and us. And that the Holy Spirit is the agency that brings us into this relationship. So when we think about unity, there's some other passages in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. And it says, now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no division among you. You be made complete in the same thing and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, that by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. And so in Scripture, we see the Apostle Paul talking about quarrels in a church. There have been so many churches that have lost their spirit, their emphasis, their mission, their testimony, because of disunity. I know of one church years ago, a small church in the country, true story, that split in two and divided from each other and half left over toilet paper. And here's what happened. The volunteer church bookkeeper administrator had a friend who had a supply company and had come and joined the church recently. And there was another member that had another supply company, and she let the member's supplies go that she didn't like and started buying the paper goods and everything from the member that she did like, and it split the church right down the middle. There was the fours and the against on the toilet paper purchases. Now, that is a crazy thing for a body of believers to be divided over. But Rick Warren from Saddleback Church talked about church politics and the dynamics of church politics. And he said, the more that churches vote, the more divisions there are. The more things you vote on. And there's, I'm for that, I'm against that. I'm for this, I'm against that. And then there's the fours and the against. And that the longer it goes, the more voting there is, the more losers there are in the church, because they'll lose that vote, and then they'll lose that vote, and they'll lose that vote. And he talks about, in the New Testament, he said, what do these words have in common? Democracy, Robert's Rules of Order, ballots, you know, all of these things. The thing they have in common is none of those words are in the New Testament. The New Testament talks about the church, the body of Christ, and says that the body of Christ is to be a consensual, where everyone agrees and they agree with a purpose, a mission, they agree with a ministry, they agree with the things they're doing, and they progress on that. Now, we as a church, in our constitution, we vote on major events, the hiring of an executive staff member, the purchase of property, capital expenditures, and that. And we voted when we replaced the central air here for the sanctuary. We voted when we purchased the property out on 76, and we vote every year for our budget. And so those things we do, and that's Southern Baptist polity. Adrian Rogers, one of our great patriarchs, said that Southern Baptist churches are pastor-led, deacon-served, and congregationally validated. And that's what it is. And so here we see in Scripture that there's a desire for unity in our relationship between us and Jesus. And then in Psalm 133:1, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, we see another passage that talks about unity. And it says, there is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. And we see that he talks about the unity of these things and the importance of them in our life. There's one body. There's one universal church, a called out group of believers. Now, that church hasn't assembled yet. It's going to assemble in the eternity future, in the future of prophecy. And then there's one spirit. There's one Holy Spirit. There's not spirits. There is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. One hope. There's one gospel. And that's what the Apostle Paul said. This is the gospel that was delivered unto you, that Christ died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And so we see this hope. One Lord Jesus, one faith, one baptism, and one God. One God in tri-unity. And so it's important for us to recognize this as we think about our unity. Next, we see that the Lord Jesus also talks about another aspect of God the Father. God the Father desires our abiding fellowship between us and He and Jesus. In verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me,
For thou dost love me before the foundation of the world. Here we see the Lord Jesus talking about this fellowship, this abiding fellowship that we have, a lifetime of fellowship we have, you and I, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus has an eternity of fellowship with God the Father. And we see that this fellowship was unbroken between God the Father and God the Son until on the cross, God the Father had to turn his back on the Son when the sins of the world were poured out on him. And that's when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So for trillions with a T or quadrillions of years in the past, God the Father and God the Son had no broken fellowship. They had no break in their loving, abiding relationship until the cross when Jesus died for us. It's important for us to have a lifetime of fellowship and an abiding fellowship with our fathers, our earthly fathers. I had the opportunity with my dad, and many of you knew him. He was a member of our church until 2018. And I grew up my entire life loving my dad. Was he perfect? By no means was D.W. Orman perfect. He had anger issues and some other things, but I loved him, loved him, loved him. And we see that in relationship to that, I had the opportunity to, after he fell and broke his hip at our church picnic, I had the opportunity to go and visit him when he was in a nursing home where they could take care of him. And I visited him every day. And I am so grateful to God that the last night that he was alive, in February of 2018, Kim and the ladies were gone on a retreat. And I went and I stayed with him that night for quite a while. I watched TV with him for several hours. And then around 9 o'clock, I said, Dad, I love you. I got to go. Kim and the ladies are coming back in the morning. And so I got up and he was in bed beside me and I leaned over and kissed him on the cheek and he kissed me on the cheek. And I said, Dad, I love you and I'll see you tomorrow. He said, no, you won't. And I said, oh yes, I will. He said, nah. And he was kind of teasing, but he was right and I was wrong. Because I came, he liked those caramel frappuccinos. I had one. I was out in the car talking to our Valentine banquet speaker. And I got a call and I said, Jim, I got to go. Dad's facility's calling me. And I answered the phone and they said, your dad is dead. Just like that. And I go, you mean now? Yes, now. I said, I'm in the parking lot. I'll be right in. And I went in and there he was in bed. He had just died. They were tucking him in for like a nap. And he sat up and he was teasing the two nurses, a nurse and a nurse's assistant. And they said, when he laid down, when his head touched the pillow, he was gone instantly. He just died. His spirit left him. And, you know, I am so thankful that I loved my dad till the day he died and that I was able to say that. One of our speakers yesterday emphasized to us over and over again, love your dads, love your granddads, express your love to them while you can, while they're here. And that is so important. But I can honestly say I had a lifetime of fellowship with my dad, just like the Lord Jesus has had an eternity of fellowship with his dad, with his father. And we see this in this passage. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write, so that our joy may be made complete. And this is the message we have heard from him, and announce to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We see that God the Father desires for us to have this abiding fellowship. And in this passage, it talks about the very foundation, the glue of our fellowship with God the Father, of our relationship. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Through the years, I've seen people when they've gotten bitter at God, angry at God, questioning God, where they've fallen away. And then they're, part of it is because their lifestyle begins to compete with what the way God wants them to live. They start adding things into their life that God does not want them to do, living a life that God does not want them to live. And then they gradually separate from him. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us of all unrighteousness. When I marriage counsel, when I counsel those that are about to be married, I'll take a sheet of paper and put a pyramid on it. And on the pyramid, I'll put husband and wife at the two bottom corners. And then I'll say the best way for y'all to have a growing love for each other and a growing relationship, and this is true for all of us. It's true for me. It's true for you. It's true for every member here, that if we were to put our names at the bottom of us and anyone in the life of our church, one of the best ways for us to get closer together as we go up on the pyramid is to put Jesus Christ at the top, where you're living to get closer to Christ and to love him. You're living to know him better. You're living to be controlled by him better and more. And I'm doing the same thing. And if you do that and I do that, as we go along, we'll just naturally get closer and stronger and closer and stronger in our relationship with one another. We had a couple of young men there yesterday, fishing guide type guys, that brought their daughters, and they came. And both of them told me, they said, "Pastor, you have such a loving fellowship. These guys are so loving. You know, we've just felt accepted and at home. We've had such a good experience here." In fact, the one who was our keynote speaker said, "I'll be back and bring my family." And he had a prior commitment today, but he's going to come see us. And the reason we're like that is because we're trying to put Jesus first, put Jesus at the center of our lives. And this is what he's talking about here as he's praying for us in this second part of his Father prayer. Then we see, thirdly, that God the Father desires for us to experientially know the love shared between he and Jesus. "This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." That is eternal life. Eternal life is not a duration of time in eternity. It's not living somewhere a length of time. Eternal life is knowing the Son and loving him and having a loving relationship with him. Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The Lord Jesus Christ desires for us to have this love based on the sacrificial life, based on the life that he has provided for us, that he has given us. And we see in verse 3 of our same chapter here that he says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know thee." And so in this prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ desires for us to know and love him and to share him. And in our original passage when it talks about this. O righteous, world has not known thee, yet I have known thee, and these have known that thou didst send me, and I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known that the love wherewith thou lovest me may be in them, and I in them. We are going out tomorrow night and every Monday through this summer with churchwide visitation. We're going out in teams to share the Lord Jesus, the love of Christ, and the knowledge of God. And we want to invite you to come tomorrow at 6. And we had our first installment of that last week and had a wonderful time out visiting. And I want to encourage you to come. But Jesus is talking about this in this prayer that, Father, I am making you known to them. And the glory that you shared with me, I'm exhibiting it to them and I'm sharing it with them. And the connotation is also that you and I will do the same, that we will partake of the glory and that we will share the glory as we live for the Lord Jesus. Now, here's a God, the Father, the greatest Father who ever lived. And he's emphasizing in our relationship unity, that we be unified together, that we walk together. How can two walk together except they agree? We see also that he's emphasizing fellowship, that we have fellowship with one another, and that our life is shared together. That's one of the great things. Many times when we have events, people linger and fellowship and interact with each other. Good to see you. Good to be here with you. Glad to interact with you. And this fellowship is important. And then we see God the Father and his love, the eternal, endless, unlimited love of God the Father. And I'm thanking him so much for that these days in my life. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you love us. And it is so important. So here we see a great Father, a great example for all of us, for us to follow. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, thank you again today for this day to celebrate the dads that are here. And we just want to ask you, please, Almighty God, to allow your nature, the nature of yourself, God the Father, to abide in every one of us. Not only us, but the mothers that are here and every person that's here. That your character and your glory will be exhibited in all of our lives. And we ask you right now, if you would, Almighty God, just to speak to hearts. There may be some here or listening or watching that have not partaken of your adoption. They've not been adopted by you yet. We ask you, please, to knock at their heart's door and open the door to their heart and draw them to yourself. And I'd like to invite you right now to just say, Almighty God, Heavenly Father, please adopt me. Bring me into the family through the sacrifice of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving him to pay for me. I accept that payment. Please come into my life. Forgive my sins and live through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to stand together and sing and want to invite you to respond to God, obey God the Father as he's speaking to your heart, whatever that might be. If you have a prayer request, a praise, need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, church membership, however he's speaking to your heart, we want to encourage you to come. Let's sing together.
But I wanted to brag on Rebecca for a second. We don't have a youth pastor, a permanent one. She's standing in the gap. She stepped up and did this and stuff. And so we're having a luncheon and a cake auction at this luncheon. And if you can't make it to the cake auction, Alan or I could be trusted with your funds, and we could bid on your bid on cakes for you if you like. And I joke about that, but it really does bless my heart when I think of what Rebecca's doing what Pastor Lefwich is doing, sharing inspired messages last week and today. Thank you again, Pastor. We appreciate you. Very much looking forward to Pastor Harvey Webb next week. Again, standing in the gap while Pastor's gone. In football, we refer to that as next man up. And that's what we've got here, and I'm thankful for that, at least anyway. So spaghetti, luncheon, and cake auction. And then there was a little confusion, I think, with the Father's Day All-Star or All-Star Baseball Game event. It's the 15th. We can sign up for it after church. I'll be up there. It's $8 for kids, $10 for adults. Again, a sweet time of fellowship. Again, what Pastor Lefwich mentioned about, you know, being in the moment and leaving by a testimony of what you've done. And we're only here for a moment. It's true. Take advantage of opportunities to gather and esteem our fathers and our grandfathers and, you know, be an example to our kids. Let's pray and then we'll go. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Father, we pray, too, for divine appointments that while it's summertime and the living's easy and we kind of throttle back, help us to remain diligent in sharing the saving grace and your truth and your word everywhere we go. Father, we love you and praise you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stewart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart.org. And just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options. And then there, if you would check radio broadcast supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve the First Baptist Church of Stewart through our outreach ministries. Our outreach ministry is about saving lives for eternity. It's also our way of getting involved with people outside the walls of our church. Some examples of some of our ministries are, one, the Feast of Plenty, which at Thanksgiving we serve our community with free Thanksgiving meals. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus through a musical performed by our choir, and it's also free and open to the community. At Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by serving our community with food and games and fellowship, and of course, the Word of God. We are currently raising money for an indoor athletic facility, which will serve our church, in our school, and our entire community. And then throughout the year, we participate in other activities such as golf and fishing and hunting and women's and men's Bible studies. We also offer a program for young mothers called MOPS. The goals of our ministry is, of course, to reach people to come to the love of Jesus and to encourage them to join the family of God. And we ask you, won't you come and meet our family?
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and High School Dual Enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There is a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stewart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why Life Group Bible studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible. And how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning Life Group Bible study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult Life Group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this life group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our life group Bible studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, my name is Colleen Highstone. Our church is a family, a fellowship, and a body of believers. We study God's Word together, we worship together, pray together, serve together, rejoice together, and support each other. If I had to use only one word to describe our church, it would be loving. I count myself blessed to be a member of this church. See the faithfulness of our church family in supporting our many church ministries, which includes this weekly radio broadcast. As the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our church motto is connecting people to Jesus and one another with love. Our church members live that out every day. If there's any way we can serve you or your family, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'd love to meet you and invite you to join us on Sunday mornings as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
The civil government does not define your ethic as a Christian. That's critical that we understand that. And now maybe people will become more and more awakened to that.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul, and I hope that you are listening to Renewing Your Mind on this station every day.
Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. and p.m. on WCNO.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.